Blog Talk Radio.
This is Robbie Fisher, your education chair, Fools International. I want to thank you for joining me today, a day of reflection. I don't expect many live listeners tonight, which is probably best. I think you guys should be with family and friends and coworkers and reflecting on the 16 years it's been since September 11th. I would expect most of you are probably downloading and will listen to this in the days to come. And so you'll be catching up with us and such. It's probably going to be a short show. I'm just going to share with you some of my thoughts and some things are going on. Originally, I was going to have my driver, Chad Berg, come on the show tonight and help me share our experience as we were working, coming off duty the morning of 9/11, and just kind of share that whole experience. So, but, first off, we've got brothers and sisters all around this nation that are, they're busy. We've got the Northwest is battling multiple large wildland fires. My department alone, small 8-station, 140-member department. We've got 13 or 14 people out on deployment now, and it's going on all over the place. Down in Oregon, I know some of the brothers from First Whip Fools are on the fire lines and are working as well. Then we've got our brothers and sisters in Texas. They're getting through massive flooding, historic flooding, and we know that they've been busy and they were getting help from other brothers and sisters from FEMA teams from Florida and such. And those teams just, basically got released from Texas to go back to Florida because, we have brothers and sisters in Florida that are dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Irma. So, I'm with you guys and gals. I know that the other brothers and sisters in our organization are thinking of you guys. I know that, I've been in class all day and I haven't had a chance to really catch up on Facebook or the news with the aftermath of Irma, but it seems like it wasn't as bad as they were predicting, but still bad enough. So our thoughts and prayers are with you guys. I'm on the road this week. I'm coming to you live from Burbank, California. That's just like a talk show would be. But a good number of I'm down here in California attending the LAFD Leadership Academy. This is the third week of a 4-week program, 1 week a month. I'm down here and attending classes at the LAFD training center. But today, what was really cool is, we had the privilege to attend and kind of participate in the 9/11 ceremony at the Frank Hodgkin Memorial Training Center, LAFD's 9/11 ceremony. It was great. So I'll talk a little bit more about that as part of the show, moving on. Our last show, sadly, was back in June 5th. A lot has happened since June 5th. The June 5th is a great day. Just so you guys know, it's an awesome day. But a lot has happened since June 5th. You know, we had the international convention in San Antonio, so hosted by the Alamo Fools, a number of the other Fools chapters in and around the Texas area, assisted by training, and it was well attended. You know, the e-board, we had a good time. We enjoyed our time, or we enjoyed ourselves in San Antonio. I think, you know, I know my wife had a great time as well. It was a really good family atmosphere. Even the rain, when it was 85 degrees out on the Riverwalk, was pretty cool. And this is coming from a guy from Seattle. So let's see. We did miss a show, or I should say I missed a show on August 7th. Basically, you know, I apologize. I had accidentally used last year's calendar for the Blog Talk shows, and I had it on my calendar, so I was off by a good almost 2 weeks. So I missed the show. I apologize. We're going to work. Me and Texas Rob are going to work to get it up on Facebook so that we have it in an event, so we won't miss it again. I know this one wasn't in the event. Texas has been busy. I've been busy. We just didn't get it up there. And but we will, our future shows. I believe the next one for us is going to be on October 30th. So we'll get something up on the event section in the Facebook, and then so we won't miss that again. So you know, in our so far to this year, we always go over our line of duty deaths up to date, or basically the line of duty deaths to date are 67, and that is reported by the U.S. Fire Administration. So I'd just like to take a brief moment of silence for those brothers and sisters that have gone before us. Thank you. You know, I'm getting a text message from Zach King as I'm doing this. I love you too, Zach. You know, the other thing, we want to thank Bobby Halton, Penwell, and Fire Engineering for giving us the opportunity to have a show. It's a, you know, this is a great forum for us to be able to share ideas and talk with brothers and sisters. Typically, most people don't call in, which is okay, because you're pretty much just treating this as a podcast. And if you know me, I'm usually not short-winded, so I have plenty of things to say that would keep us busy for, I don't know, maybe 30, 45 minutes today. So we thank them for the opportunity to have a show. The other thing to kind of report is, you know, many of your e-board, we're going to be going to Chicago the end of next week for the Rosecrans Symposium. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, please get on our Facebook page and check it out. Rosecrans is a hospital that deals with addiction and deals with behavioral health issues. Specifically, what's nice about the Rosecrans facility is they have a St. Florian wing dedicated to firefighters. And last year we were there. We didn't get a chance to go and visit the facility, but we had a chance to visit many of the staff, chaplains, and it was great. And Dan DeGreis, battalion chief with Chicago Fire, is the director of the program, good friend of the Fools. He's been great helping us, and so in turn, you know, Fools have been really trying to be a part of this charge to, you know, head off these issues that we're having with firefighter suicide. Sadly, the suicide rate is probably double that of our line of duty death rate annually, and I believe that that the thought is the data is, you know, somewhat off because of reporting and other issues. So, you know, that number may only be half or a third of what is actually occurring. I can speak for myself. I have lost a handful of really good friends, brothers, in our profession that have taken their lives. One of which is Paul Guy. And when I think of 9/11 and one of my experiences and impacts was a trip that four of us from Fire District 7 went on back to New York the first week of December. And the whole idea was to help the families that were in need. A couple of brothers in our organization decided to design a t-shirt and to sell those t-shirts, and all the proceeds would go to the families. And we were just talking just the other day. I was talking to one of the brothers, Bill Exie, one of the guys that helped design it, him and Brandon Gardner. These shirts were sold everywhere. And the amount of money that was raised over a period of time, and I wish I knew the exact period of time, but I would probably say over a year, they raised, and they don't know the exact number, but it was over $180,000 was raised for the families. And what was really cool is how we were using that money. We weren't giving to any organization. We were going to funerals and finding the widow of the brother that was lost, and asking her what are her needs. And then, you know, depending on the situation, we just would crank out a check for $5,000 and just give her a check and tell her to take care of family. But so one of the four of us that were on this trip was Paul Guy, and a couple years ago Paul took his life. That's actually the anniversary. It was just past us. So it's again another impact of 9/11 for me. You know, Paul didn't take his life as a result of 9/11, but it's one of those, you know, it's one of those experiences that that I shared with that group, and he's no longer here, and it has its own impact, and it's all tied to, again, for me, another thing, it's tied to 9/11. So, all right, so my tonight's show, you know, originally I was thinking that we would just treat tonight's show as kind of like one of the holidays. You know, most of the time, Blog Talk Radio, if it's on a holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and so on and so forth, that we pretty much just wouldn't do a show. And I thought, well, the best idea would be to, we'll go silent for tonight in respect of the 343 who were lost. And to add to that, a number that is that needs to be, I think, that needs to be thought of maybe in a little bit different way, but still thought of in the same you know, respect, is the 9/11 or post 9/11 illnesses and the individuals that have died since working at Ground Zero. And I just read an article from the first week of September that to date, I believe they're putting another 32 names on the wall to add to the wall. And to date, there has been 159 names added to the wall of post 9/11 deaths as a result of the illness from working on Ground Zero. So, you know, I thought we would just do the show as like a, we'll have a silent show. And I was telling my wife about it. She got on me and like, are you kidding me? You can't do that. And I bounced it off of Ben Flegel, and Ben's like, yeah, absolutely not. We can't go silent. You know, this is our day. We need to reflect, and we shouldn't be talking about things. So, you know, what I came up with is what I've been noticing, at least what it seems like what I've been noticing, is that never forget is starting to fade. and hash things out and how I see it or what's going on. And really the question is, have we as a profession already started to forget? Tonight, again, it's fitting that it's a fool's night on Block Talk Radio, and I'm honored to be hosting the show tonight. It's probably going to be a shorter show, but I'm going to share with you some of my thoughts. But let me get to today. This morning, we came into the classroom. We had a quick lecture, and then we were able to, as a class, go out and tie in with the 9/11 ceremony at the training center. Really, they had a phenomenal, one of the better ceremonies that I've been to. They have a piece of the tower there, a fairly large piece of the tower. I believe, as the MC was speaking, it was probably one of the largest pieces outside of New York that's on the training ground. And they had a bunch of reeds. They had pipes and drums there. They had L.A. County ladder trucks with an L.A. City ladder truck, flags, dignitaries. It was a very cool ceremony. Some of the guest speakers, they had the Secretary of State, Alex Padilla, was there and spoke. LAFD's Fire Chief Terrazas spoke, and then the Chief of Police Charlie Beck spoke as well. They set the reefs. They kind of talked a little bit about how the impact of 9/11 has been on them, and it was really cool. And the one thing that really caught me that Secretary of State Padilla said was that he looks at 9/11 as it's our generation's event that brought the nation together, and that's going to be the tie to what I'm going to be talking about tonight. Is every generation or generations have their big event. You know, the greatest generation, as identified by many, had World War II. There's the generation that dealt with Vietnam, and our generation deals with 9/11 and deals with the Iraq War and Afghanistan and all the crap that's going on over there currently. So I thought that it was fitting for us for tonight's conversation. Is like, are we forgetting? And whose job is it to continue to never forget? And kind of the experiences there. I just got a text from Chad Berg. He said he just got back from a call, and he's listening in. So, Chad, I gave you the number. Call in. And if anybody else wants to call in, if you didn't see it on Facebook, the call-in number is 760-454-8852. But what were you doing, just to kind of start this whole thing off, what were you doing on the morning of 9/11, 2001? And what I was hoping is that I could share my experience and Chad would be able to share his as well. We were working. We were being on the West Coast. When the first plane hit the tower, it was 5:46 our time. So Chad just called in, and I'm going to bring him in so he can be a part of this. Okay, don't say anything bad there, Berg, because you're on. You're live.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Well, I'm not everybody. I'm Rob. Nice to meet you, Chad.
I figured a few people were probably listening.
All right. Well, what I was starting off with, Chad, is just basically. I tell you what. Why don't you describe our relationship, and then we'll get into coming off duty.
Yeah. I'm Ted Berg. I'm a driver operator in Snohomish County, Fire District 7, north of Seattle, about 25 miles. I've been Rob's driver for since 1999, other than some of his escapades in the training division. And I think I got in trouble once and had to go to headquarters for a year. But other than that, we've been in the front seat together for quite a long time. And, yeah, it's been a good time. But
it has been a great time.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I was just gonna say, so just kind of setting the stage. We're getting up in the morning. The first plane has already hit the tower. It hits the tower at 5:46 our time, Pacific Standard Time, and our shift changes at 8 o'clock in the morning. We typically get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. And as I'm getting up, there is a text message from my wife on my phone. It was probably a flip phone. And so texting was a little bit difficult back then. But she said, you got to turn on the TV. FDNY is dealing with a pretty significant event. It looks like a plane hit the tower. And that's the beginning of the day for us. You want to add a little bit more to that then, Chad, or?
Yeah, if I recall, and I don't remember all the details of what we were doing, but I know we were up pretty early on the West Coast. But I think we had just returned from a run. Me and Lieutenant Fisher were working at Station 77, and I just remember I had to top off the booster tank on the engine, and I took the hydrant right in front of the firehouse, and guys went inside, figured we weren't going to go back to sleep for the last hour or whatever it was, but... once I get coffee going, I'm filling up the engine, and Robbie, yeah, you came out and you said, dude, a plane just hit the Trade Center. And I guess I just kind of assumed it was something small, and you're like, no, it's a big deal. It's like a big commercial plane, and wow, no kidding. And so I remember filling up the tank, putting the engine back to bay, and going inside, and I think it was like right about that time where it had just happened that the second plane hit. Is that right?
Well, we came in, we were watching it, and I remember we were sitting in the day room and having coffee and watching and listening to, you know, what was going on when the other plane came in, and I thought it was footage. Personally, I thought it was footage of the first plane hitting, but not making the correlation that the one tower was smoking when the plane hit the other tower. And I think
Go ahead, Robbie.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think I remember, and now I've seen it since then, but Matt Lauer, you know, I think we were watching today's show, and he says, whoa, what's this? You know, hey, we just got something else. What was that? And you know, again, yeah, that's when the second plane hit, and that's, I think, when everybody was kind of like, oh, okay, this ain't an accident. And then, you know, just glued to that TV all morning, and it was unbelievable what we were seeing.
Then we watched the tower collapse, and that was, you know, to be honest, I didn't even think about people inside the tower. Really, as weird as it sounds, I was thinking, man, that huge building is coming down in the streets, and all of FDNY that's in the streets trying to figure out what they're going to do, those individuals, they're going to get seriously hurt or killed, and not even thinking about how many brothers, police, fire, the civilians, everybody inside the tower as that had collapsed. It probably took me, I don't know, several minutes before you started really thinking, and before I started really thinking about, you know, where everybody was and what was potential. What the hell just happened, you know?
Yeah, we were still trying to catch up to the timeline, right, of how long this had been burning, when was the impact burning, you know, hey, how long would it take to this many guys to get there? Have they evacuated people out? Are they still in it? You know, just kind of coming across that in the morning. like you said, getting the text by Jody, it took us a bit to kind of catch up on where things were at in the incident. You're right. I do remember that was kind of like the afterthought, and we're going, oh, wait a second.
Personally, I don't really remember. I remember staying at the station till probably, it seemed like it was noon. Just could not leave the TV. Just could not leave and I wish I remember who was the crew coming on. But I just did not feel that I could leave the station. And, my kid was older and so I didn't have to be home or anything like that. And I remember just sticking around, just hanging out with the brothers at the station and just kind of continue watching this. And then the next thing that I did is that when I left, the first thing I thought of is I got to go donate blood. I don't know why. I felt like I had to donate blood. And I went to, as I was heading home, stopped by the blood bank that we have in the area, and it was packed. There were so many people there. They were overrun
wow.
by people. And I remember donating blood. I was there for a couple hours because they just couldn't handle the group that had come in, you know. And I think that was one of the things that, you know, not having experienced any other major national disasters or acts of terrorism or, you know, attacks on America, is that Americans started to rally and, like, what can I do to help out the country? Put aside all the political bullshit. Put aside, you know, Republicans versus, you know, Democrats versus the libertarians, and all that stuff went aside, and everybody said, what can I do? What is it that I can do to lend to help?
Yeah, I remember, I don't know how long I hung out after shift trade, but I remember going home. At the time, I had, my kid was a month and a half old, so I didn't have quite the freedom you did to stay after that long, but I remember heading home and having to stop and get some gas and, you know, of course, listening to it on the radio. And I stop in at the gas station and this other guy stops in at a pump. Yeah, normally you don't talk to people at the gas station. This guy kind of glances at me. I kind of glance at him and he shakes his head. And I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, I'm all right, man. How are you doing? And just that simple question to a stranger that, you know, it's not like you're letting someone cut in line at the grocery store and small chat. This is just across a fuel pump. And, you know, I knew he knew, he knew I knew. I mean, everybody at this point in the country knew, and that strangers are now, this is kind of where I started to see it all kind of come together. And, you know, what can I do? Like you're talking about going and giving blood and, you know, all these different things. That feeling that you are all of a sudden genuinely concerned with not just your neighbor, but any fellow American. And that, you know, from such a horrible event that just took place or still was taking place, also you have an attachment to somebody just because we're in the same country. And it was awkward and, you know, but at the same time, man, it was really cool, you know. And I said, hey, man, have a better day. Oh, yeah, you know, you too. And I mean, not very many words were spoken, but didn't need to. But that to me was just the beginning of what that day, you know, entailed, and obviously the weeks and months and in my opinion, even the years still.
Exactly. I don't know when you tuned in, but I was kind of explaining that with the group of us that went in December, the first week in December, and went back
yeah.
to share money. And do you have any, do you want to talk a little bit about what Billy and Brandon Gardner did? I mentioned they did t-shirts, but your your perspective on that, how that all went, and you know, our trip to New York.
Yeah, it you know, that, again, you're like, you're talking about what can you do, and those two guys, you know, at the time were, you know, really new guys on the job, and not like I had a bunch of experience by any means, but I remember them coming to a meeting like just a couple days after the event and said, hey, you know, we're going to do this fundraiser, we're going to make these t-shirts, and you know, we'd like to get the union support on this, we're doing it regardless, but yeah, we'd like to get the union support. Of course, the union supported them. You know, the rest is history. How much money was raised, it was pretty amazing. But yeah, you know, I mean, not being part of a FEMA USAR team or anything, you're like, man, how do I get a ticket to go back and help in any way possible? And you know, it took us a little bit to kind of realize, like, you know what, let's just go back. And we started hearing guys needed people to attend the funerals, and like, hey, man, we can do that. And you, myself, Bill Exe, late Lieutenant Guy, jumped on a plane and headed there. And yeah, I don't know how much you want me to go into detail. This is the beginning of just a whole nother story, a crazy, you know, 3 or 4 days.
But I, again, I don't know when you connected in and was able to listen to what was going on the show, but the other day I was texting back and forth with Bill Exe and for some more information on the t-shirts. And I said, hey, Bill, do you remember how much you guys made or how much we were able to collect and to donate over there? And Bill's like, yeah, I know it was over $180,000. And I just,
wow,
that floored me. Yeah, no kidding. That floored me. But yeah, if you want to tell just, you know, a couple minutes worth of our experience going over there, everybody gets to hear me talk, so I'll let you talk for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, well, we headed over there, and of course we, you know, booked a hotel somewhere in Manhattan, in Midtown, I think, and I had never been right in downtown New York, like got off the plane and drove up to Boston and that kind of stuff. But, you know, got there and threw our bags in the hotel and like immediately went to a funeral. In fact, I believe it was Lieutenant Callahan on the 35
Captain.
Truck. Captain, I'm sorry. Went to his service, and afterwards they had kind of a wake get together at a little lounge, and I think I went up to buy the first round, and so I met Steve at the bar from the 34 truck.
Stevie Carroll.
Hey, where are you from? Yeah, Stevie Carroll. And where are you from? And I said, he saw the patch, and he goes, Snohomish County. First off, you don't ever hear anybody in this country pronounce Snohomish right. You either got to be from the Northwest or apparently New York. Got to know some Indian names and how they're pronounced. I don't know. But, yeah, you know, Washington, he's like, D.C. or the state? And I said, the state. And he was floored, you know, that we were out there. And, of course, we already knew that people farther away than us had come out. And, you know, he was thankful and grateful and wouldn't let me buy that round and come back over to the pile of guys. And we do some cross introductions and everything. And that's when you guys met him. And, you know, then the question was raised, hey, where are you guys staying? And I don't remember the name of the place, but we told him, and he was like, no, you're staying at our house. You're staying at 3484 up in Washington Heights. We're like, man, no, we did not come to intrude, intervene at all. You know, you guys got enough going on. And obviously they were still down on the pile at that time. And, you know, we're really trying to not go. And they weren't taking no for an answer. And okay, hey, this will be a good adventure. You know, I'm still a little bit awkward. These guys got enough going on, but so the wake ends, and we head back to the hotel, and basically explain to concierge and management, you know, what was going on, and they didn't charge us anything. Let us check out, no deposit, nothing. And these two events were kind of like everything that was coming together of what you think New York was like, you know, just people out for their own, you know, big cities, all just this money. I don't care about this. I don't care that. And everything was starting to change. And we hailed a cab, said, hey, we need to go up to Washington Heights. And we got in, and obviously I don't remember that gentleman's name, but he was of Middle Eastern descent. And I don't know if it was Lieutenant Guy or yourself, Robbie, but you know, like, hey, man, how you doing? You catch any grief for this? And, you know, he told some stories. Eh, for the most part, everyone's been cool, but, yeah, you know, there's been some people that have shouted some things at me, you know, blame me for this. And great guy, nice guy. Keep in mind, this is a New York cabbie, and we're from out of town. He takes us on what, with the traffic and everything, was probably, I don't know, what, Robbie, a 20-minute drive or something?
Oh, yeah, at least, maybe 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, so anyways, we get up to the firehouse and, you know, knock on the door. The guys open up the bay doors and start unloading our gear for us. And we're kind of blown away. We go to pay the cabbie, and he wouldn't let us pay. And we're like, you got to be kidding me. Cab driver not letting somebody pay for the fare? And he was like, no, you guys are firemen. You're here to take care of my firemen, and it's on me. And that kind of that just blew us all away. We're like, whoa, what the heck is going on? And, yeah, that, we went into the firehouse, and you can take it from there, Robbie.
I was just going to say that that's kind of like the where I started to, you know, while we were going to New York to help out and try to give money to families. And but that, you know, along with Stevie Carroll and Captain Wink and all those guys, you know, bringing us to their firehouse and wanting us to, you know, that they weren't going to have us staying in some hotel. And but that was like the beginning that I started to realize that this was, you know, this was a nation coming together. I mean, really the first feelings of it, even the cabbie, you know, like you said, you know, what New York cabbie drives across town in traffic for half an hour and doesn't take any money. That just does not happen very often. And these are acts of Americans coming together and wanting to, you know, do whatever they can as part of this great country to, you know, to get their part in, to give something back, because so many had obviously given themselves. Yeah, so our experience in the FDNY, we went to a number of funerals. I don't remember them all. I know we have them documented. Went to a number of funerals, went to see family, and we donated, $30,000 or so while we were there for a few days, and created quite the relationship with Stevie Carroll and a number of the guys at 3484, and which was, you know, another real ironic tie is the Fools, the training award, the Dana Hannon Award for education training guy or gal of the year. Dana came from Ladder 34. And that is just the beginning of many connections in my life with the, you know, with the Fools and 9/11 and you know, and everything of brother and sisterhood. So kind of going back before we got to December, you know, I'm kind of come back on the story, and the thing that really I would say it probably took me a good day before I, you know, the impact of everything on September 11th hit me. And at the time, our department was testing for training battalion chief. I was in the training division as a temporary captain, and had put my letter in to test. One other individual put their letter in, his interest to test as well. And I remember my wife coming out. I was mowing the lawn, the front lawn, and she said, hey, they found Ray Downey. And for whatever reason, and I never had personally met Ray Downey. I've read his books, and I know his impact in the fire service. But for whatever reason, I just had a really rough day, really rough night. And I just stopped doing what I'm doing, had to come in. I just had to have a good cry. And because I think at that moment, it wasn't necessarily Chief Downey. It was everything was piled up, and now it was coming down, and it was coming down hard. So wife did a great job. We just talked, and, you know, I talked to a number of friends and talked to my kid. And it was that point that I decided, well, you know what? My journey is not going by way of battalion chief now. And with my wife agreeing with me that, you know, whatever I want to do is best. And the next morning I withdrew my letter, and I had a good chance. And that's when I really started feeling a lot more of how much of this was actually going to steer my life. Well, you know, I didn't know where I'm going to be 16 years later, but I knew that there was an impact in my life, and there will be many more coming down the road. So, you got any more you want to add with that, Chad, before I get into the next kind of part of it? And you're welcome to stay on if you want.
No, let's give somebody else a shot. Yeah, I mean, you summed it up. I think every fireman who was on the job when this went on, obviously will never forget, but it impacted them. If you care about the job at all, and if you're a proud American, this had a profound impact on you. And, you know, I thought I knew what brotherhood was, you know, and I thought I felt it. I thought I understood it. And, but I got a big lesson, you know, a real big lesson, especially after going back there. You know, and sometimes you try to explain it, or someone will ask, you know, hey, you know, you were working then, and, you know, during that time, and you just try to explain it, but it's one of those things you can't. And, you know, I don't know. You can get frustrated that maybe someone doesn't understand, or the day doesn't mean the same thing to them as it does some of the other guys. And it's not their fault. It's just up to us to educate them, you know, talk about these experiences and how it made you feel, or how it changed your career path, or, you know, how it shaped your career path. And I think that's kind of our responsibility now. But, yeah, definitely look at everything different. I look out. You know, we do vacation picks and look at the next year's calendar in December. I look to see September 11th. All right, am I working or am I off? And if I'm working, awesome. I'm in a firehouse with my guys on September 11th. Couldn't be more proud. If I'm off, I'm not scheduling to go ride a bike or do anything. I'm going to be with my family, and we're going to go do some fire function, whether it's head over to O'Donnell's and, you know, do a ladder ball tournament or something with a bunch of firemen, pipes and drums event. But I can't ever forget, like most of us can't ever forget, but I also don't want to forget. I want to make this a special day that all of us can remember, and at the same time make my kid, who was a month and a half old, make him understand why this day is important. So he doesn't give me that blank stare, you know, when I say something on September 10th or the morning of September 11th and try to explain to him. He understands, because it's been part of his life growing up, that September 11th is it's a sad day, but it's a special day.
Well, you know, I have nobody else that's calling in, so I'm, as long as you and Lieutenant Grace have no problem with you talking on the phone. I know it's probably getting close to you guys' dinner time, but so let's talk a little bit more about, you know, you said you will never forget, and that's part of what I want to talk about tonight is that, are we forgetting? And my feeling is I think we are having a hard time trying to understand what never forget really means. And, you know, and I think that I look at, here's what I compare ourselves to, because I was born during Vietnam, and I was, you know, I was a young kid at the end of Vietnam. I mean, I was probably, I don't remember it much, but I remember my dad's friends that had been killed in Vietnam, my dad and mom. But I don't associate myself with Vietnam, even though I was, mind you, I was a kid. And you see Vietnam vets all the time. They're carrying their torch. They're carrying that generation torch on, never forgetting the their brothers that have been left back, never came home, you know. And I think when we're looking at this generation, having been in the fire service, and this is our responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the 20-year-old kid that just came on the job, because that kid that's 20 years old that's just now coming on the job this year was 4 years old when 9/11 occurred. They don't have an association. In fact, they're kind of disassociated from it, because their experience while they were alive was, you know, if they're lucky, kindergarten. Maybe they had a crayon and they drew a tower and a plane, or, you know, they don't have any association with it. So I look at the you know, and I mentioned it earlier on the show, that the generation that was identified as the great generation of the during World War II. I'll tell you, we're losing our World War II survivors. I don't know what the number is at now, but they're almost all gone. But I'll tell you, when you see a World War II survivor, they're proud to be a World War II survivor. They're proud to carry that torch. They've never forgot about the atrocities that had occurred during World War II. And so it's odd, and the feeling that I'm getting, and I'm not calling anybody out, but the feeling that I'm getting and looking at how we were the year of and the year following and the 5 years following September 11th and where we are today, 16 years later, it starts to seem a little dim, that we've kind of lost a little touch with that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, I don't think anybody can deny that. And the troubling part, like, you know, again, you're talking about the 20-year-old kid, 21, 22, 23, you know, the fact that they don't have that, they'll respect it, but don't have that connection, I don't fault them for that. The part that's frustrating is the people that, you know, were adults, or, God, heck, I hate to say it, but some of them are in the fire service, and, you know, you feel like it's just another day to them. And, you know, I mean, those people, maybe you get caught up in the moment, and, you know, they want to mourn, or they want to remember. But as years go by, what do they think of this day? And that's troubling. But, you know, as we know, we got all these percentages, 98% or whatever, 80, 10, 10, whatever. We can look at that, pass blame, and say, oh, he's just one of these guys. Or we can get him involved. And again, tell him new stories, maybe tell him someone we knew, how there was a connection, how it changed your career, how it changed your path, maybe even in life, and share that. That is, I do think that's our responsibility. But, yeah, as society, not that this radio show is for us to get on a soapbox and tell everybody what's wrong with society. I think there's still a lot of good things. Unfortunately, it takes bad events for us to recognize these good things, or sometimes for these good things to even surface. You know, I mean, you remember after 9/11, how many people were flying flags on their cars, and every house had a flag. You know, now we got people using a flag as a martyr or a political tool or, you know, a platform to complain about something or use as their statement. And those are the people that forgot. They forgot what that flag represents. And it's not just 9/11. It's, you know, how we became a country, every war we fought since then, and, you know, what we stand for as a nation. And that issue is bigger than 9/11. But like you said, Rob, 9/11 is the big thing that we can associate that pride. That was what was in our generation. That's how we grasped onto that and saw a nation come together. But, yeah, you know, all you can really do is, again, share information, you know, share what you knew or how you felt, and keep flying your flag. You know, put in the half mast on 9/11. I don't need the governor to tell me when it's appropriate to put it, that half mast. Do that yourself. You know, it's your flagpole. It's your house. You know, you take care of that thing yourself and don't wait till someone else tells you to mourn or tells you to remember.
Well, to tie in with what you're saying, Chad, I'd say we never forget. You know, I don't think it's, unless you've had a traumatic injury, you never forget what it is. The reality is we prioritize, we choose. We choose to no longer make it a priority. And that's, for me, that's the troubling side of things, is that are we genuine in our thoughts? And maybe after 9/11 and a year or two after that, we were, you know, we were genuine, but we started to, well, you know, there's other things that are impacting my life. And I would say that what we need to do is we need to own this. We need to take the responsibility to own this and continue it. And charge yourself up. I mean, there's several things that you can do to honor those lost on 9/11, and not just the 343, but also the 159, you know, that had worked at Ground Zero and lost their life post 9/11, and all the others that were killed in the other planes and the civilians. But
hey, Rob, let me interrupt you really quick.
How you doing, guys? Oh, you guys are the best. I'm Chad. Gene, nice to meet you. What's your name? Cody? Nice to meet you, Cody. Hey, I'm on a radio talk show right now, and this is exactly what we're talking about right now, about people remembering 9/11 and not just firemen, but Americans and everything else. And Rob, I'm here with a family that just showed up in the back lot of the firehouse, and they've got, looks like a pie, apples, and a bouquet of flowers, some candy, and I just wanted to stop by, and obviously they're remembering today, and two little kids with gifts just to drop off at the firehouse.
Tell them we're all grateful and thankful for them.
Absolutely.
And the firemen I'm talking to, he says, thank you very much, and all firemen are grateful for people like yourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't mean to be rude. I got to take this opportunity, right?
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take care and tend to these people and show them the fire truck and all that
stuff.
All right,
stuff,
brother. So I'm going to let you go.
It was good talking with you, man. Thank you and you guys be smart tonight, and I will talk to you when I get back in town.
All right. Hey, I guess on an ending note, not everyone's forgot, huh?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
All right, guys, take it easy.
Okay, talk to you later, brother.
Bye-bye.
Well, I just got another listener right as Chad was coming off. It's a 206 number, so they're from the Washington area. Who is this? Are you there? I'm going to give them another chance. Maybe they'll call back. So things that we can do to honor, you know, to honor our honor these 343 and is, you know, like I said, this is our responsibility to carry this torch. This is our generation's national incident. I mean, we should be carrying this, especially as firefighters. And the caller is back, so I'm going to see if I can get them on this time. Okay, 206, you're on.
You there, Rob?
Sven, I thought it would be you.
How's it going?
Good. Go ahead. What you got for us, Sven?
Well, didn't do too much today. I got off shift this morning. You know, we had our annual 9/11 ceremony at Station 64. This is the first year that I didn't really attend. I kind of felt I kind of needed a day for myself and just kind of remembering and going through my thoughts and, you know, remembering what happened 16 years ago. But
Yeah, I get it.
I would say, though, that, you know, we have a lot in our community that that really stop by our memorial quite often. Yesterday, of course, we had a multitude of people coming by, and of course we were out there like cleaning everything up, getting ready for today. And when I got up this morning, there was like half a dozen bouquets of flowers like laid out around the memorial. And, you know, so there are people out there that aren't forgetting.
Yeah. I don't know if you got to hear the part, Chad, when I was talking. Chad had to interrupt me, and he said, hey, and he had a family that was coming in while he was at the firehouse, and he's talking on the phone in the back lot, and so he kind of talked with them a little bit, explained the situation, and it's good. And, you know, we don't have, like, in District 7, I know there's a number of departments throughout the country that have memorials, and yours down there, Sven, and South King Fire and Rescue, right? Is it South King Fire and Rescue?
Yes.
You guys have a beautiful memorial there, and you know, we don't have one up in our area, and it may be a little bit different if we had a memorial, and it wasn't just families stopping by the fire stations to visit. And We're, I think as a nation, you know, it's hard to control how people see that. And there is going to be the patriotic people that are definitely never going to forget. And they're going to stop on a regular basis. The thing that kind of hurts, and I'm not home on 9/11 this year, but it sure seems like we have more visitors during Christmas to drop off cakes, cookies, and pies, and, you know, everything else. And then we do on 9/11, and I'd like to see that reversed. You know what? Go and spend time with your family on Christmas, but stop by the firehouse and visit us on September 11th, and I'd love for that tie. But for the topic tonight, I'm more worried that we as firefighters are struggling to never forget. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, I caught a little bit of your earlier conversation, and like you said, it's getting harder for us to kind of pass on what the day means to, like, the all the newer guys that we're hiring. I mean, you know, like you said, we're hiring 20, 21-year-olds that, you know, they were really too young to understand the magnitude of the day. And you know, what concerns me also is a lot of the schools are not even really teaching about 9/11 in their history courses. You know, it's almost becoming like a day that, yeah, it was something terrible happened on that day, but they're not really going into depth of what happened and the magnitude of it. So
it's interesting you bring that up. I was just going to say, Sven, it's interesting that you're bringing that up because one of my fellow students here in the class, his wife's a teacher, and that was one thing we were talking about as we were driving into class today is that, you know, he said that his wife, if she wants to do anything that's she's allowed to do anything that's 9/11, and she is allowed to do anything that she wants that's 9/11, but it has to be approved by the school district. And the school district will not develop a program to share that, which is what you're saying. And that floors me. That I don't understand why we wouldn't, you know, it's Patriots Day, and why wouldn't we want to remember that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you look at history, and you know, I'm not downplaying what happened. That, you know, we all learn about Pearl Harbor, which was a very significant day in our history. You and I were never old enough to really understand the whole impact of that other than what we learned in history class. But, you know, 9/11 is almost that same kind of historical event, and it's not being taught in curriculums and schools anymore. It's almost like a day that never happened.
But how did, going back to what you're, we weren't born, you, at least I don't think you're old enough to be born during World War II. I hope not.
No.
But
no.
We weren't born. But how did we learn? Yes, we learned a little bit. We learned a little bit in, you know, in the history and throughout middle school and probably throughout high school. But what was the connection that ties us to having an understanding of the impact of Pearl Harbor? What do you think that is?
Well, I think, honestly, I think a lot of it, you know, we were taught in history class in school, you know, kind of the significance, and, you know, maybe some of our teachers that we had, you know, early in our school, and of course I'm a little older than you are, but, you know, some of my teachers were of veteran age, having been in World War II, so, you know, there was basically a passing on of, like, what America was like before Pearl Harbor, and then the impact of Pearl Harbor and the patriotism, you know, a lot of things that we saw after 9/11. But I don't know. You know, I think in this day and age, everybody's afraid of offending somebody if they teach something in curriculum that a lot of those messages aren't being passed on. You know, a teacher that's of a certain age definitely could pass on what the feelings that they were having of 9/11, but they're being handcuffed in the right of political correctness. You know, it's almost like, well, we can't teach that because we might offend somebody.
What I was thinking you were going to go with is, I learned a little bit about World War II in school, and I really learned a lot when my wife and I traveled to Europe, and we went to Normandy, and you were in Europe, and you talk about understanding World War I and World War II. I learned way more in traveling than I did in school, but the point that I was going to get at was, I think that my understanding and the impact that the attack on Pearl Harbor and everything else that came with it, I learned from those that were there. I learned from, you know, those that were around during that time in the nation, in the nation that had to respond. I learned from my grandfather and many of his friends. And those people, they're obviously disappearing at a rapid pace. But that kind of ties to, like, what is our job, Sven? Our job, I think our job is going to be that we have to accept the fact that we need to carry this torch, period. Nobody else should be carrying this but our generation. And I think the thing that we need to do is we need to pass this on. We need to mentor this to other firefighters so that 20-year-old kid that might have been 4 years old or 25-year-old kid that, you know, is 9 years old when 9/11 occurred. We need to make sure that they understand it. They won't understand it the way that we do because they didn't live through it. But at least they will understand it, because I sure as hell respect Pearl Harbor and everything that had happened back then. But I wasn't there. And I think those are the things that we want to make sure that we, as one, we don't forget, and two, that it's our responsibility to keep on passing it on.
Yeah, you know, you're pretty correct there. I mean, you know, I think about it more, you know, so both of my parents were quite a bit older. I mean, my dad was 50 years old when I was born, and, you know, he was at sea for sailing for merchants in the Free Dutch, and he was on his way to Pearl Harbor when the attack happened. So, you know, I mean, I got a little bit of an insight from that. And I mean, you know, that generation, they didn't like to talk about a lot of things. So, you know, trying to get some of that information out of him was not the easiest, but
yeah.
You know, he had a great respect. Of course, you know, both of my parents were immigrants. You know, my mother spent the whole World War II under occupation in Holland. So, I mean, there's a different perspective there. But, you know, I had the influences of some of my dad's friends that were veterans, you know, kind of gave me a better understanding of it. But, you know, yeah, you're right. We have to carry the burden of 9/11, you know, and try to explain to some of these guys what it was like to be a fireman or firefighter on that day.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's like I had a Proby now that, you know, we sat and talked yesterday, because I was talking to him about, you know, 16 years ago, I was sitting in the same firehouse that I was sitting in last night, and, you know, went to bed. Everything was, you know, cool. And then getting one of the guys that was coming in the next morning to wake us all up to get up and watch the TV to see what was going on. Kind of changed everything for you right then and there.
Sure did. Well, Spen, I'm going to wrap the show up. I appreciate you calling in, and I had a feeling when I saw 206, I said, I bet you this is Spen calling in. Thank you for calling in tonight, and we'll connect up when maybe I'll see you on Friday night at the Fool's Meeting.
Yeah, I might be able to make it, so maybe I'll see you there.
Perfect. All right, brother.
All right,
have
brother.
A good night.
Yeah.
You know, kind of wrapping things up here a little bit. You know, what can we do? What should we be doing? And this is just my perspective. I'm active in the Fools, and obviously, this type of organization is perfect for these types of events. You know, what the Fools stand for, and so one thing I would say is, the Fools is not for everybody. So I'm not saying, hey, if you're listening to this and you're not a Fool, join the Fools. It's not for everybody. But being a part of an organization like the Fools is a good way to help never forget. You know, the first thing is, it's a choice. You have a choice to never forget. And I encourage you to choose not to forget. Be a student, and not just like an academic student. Be a student of the fire service. Be a student of all things in the fire service. You don't have to dedicate 100% of your time and forget about hunting and your fantasy football and all this other stuff. But make a commitment to yourself to be better at your job, at your profession, and spend a little bit of time being a student. Mentor other firefighters, you know, being a good student, sometimes a teacher, always the student. Sometimes you need to be the teacher. And I'm not asking you to go out and grab a firefighter and say, I'm going to be your mentor. But stay connected with the younger firefighters. Share with them your experiences about 9/11 and you know, the things that have changed pre-9/11 and post-9/11. You know, maybe join your department's honor guard or an area, if you guys have a jurisdiction that has honor guard, shared honor guard, join honor guard. And if you're really talented, join the pipes and drums. My county, you know, in 2007, a couple individuals got together and said, hey, we're going to give this a shot. And I know of stories of guys that, and gals probably, that had zero musical ability, and they're playing one of the hardest instruments to play, the bagpipes. But join pipes and drums. That'll help you with never forgetting. And lastly, be it a firefighter or not, as a family, with your family, you know, just think of honoring all those that were lost in 9/11 with, you know, maybe performing some simple acts of kindness. And on that day or on today, maybe for next year, do something kind for somebody. Pay it forward. And do that in honor of those lost. So for tonight, I'm going to take a moment of silence, 343 seconds of silence for those, our brothers, that were killed on 9/11. After this silence, I'm going to come back and I'll wrap it up with some final thoughts. Here's our moment of silence. Thank you. We shall never forget. In closing, I'm going to use one of Ben Flegel's closing remarks from a blog he did a few years ago on 9/11. Quote, "So I think we who witnessed it need to continue in observing 9/11. Maybe our ceremonies will grow smaller. Maybe they should. For whose burden is it to carry but ours? But the younger generation will know how dedicated we are in remembering such sacrifice. Our quiet, solemn stance will speak volumes to the wise among them. They will understand how sacred we hold this job as each note sounds, as the bell strikes, this honorable service we have committed our lives to, and how very aware we are that there, but for the grace of God, go I." End quote. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining me tonight. I hope that you will never forget. Thank you again, Bobby Halton, Penwell, and Fire Engineering for allowing us to host the show. And I hope to tie in with you, our listeners, at a later date. Have a good night. Thank you. And goodbye.